In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the theme of today's gospel is a very sobering one. It's about the hatred of the world for Christ and for the followers of Christ, meaning us. That the world will hate all of those who truly follow Christ. And if you see churches where there's no persecution, churches where there's no hatred from society, something is missing in the way that they serve God, in the way that they teach the gospel, and in the way that they live their faith. Our Lord is very formal about it. He says, the world hates you. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hates you. Now, in Greek, the use of the word if in this kind of a construction means if the world hates you, and it will, is what the Greek text is really saying. And he says, who hates me hates my Father also. So those who hate Christ hate God the Father, hate God. So our Lord is very clear and very specific about it. These are very, as I said, sobering words. And they make us think, because why does the world hate Jesus? Because Jesus pointed out their sin. Jesus convicted them of their sin. He said, if I hadn't come into the world and convicted you of sin, you could have gone on and you wouldn't hate me. But I've come and I've taught you. I've taught you exactly what is wrong, what is sinful, what is following the spirit of the world. And he specifies, Satan is the prince of this world. So these are, again, very, you rarely will ever hear that in a Christian church anywhere today. But that's the gospel that we're reading here today. And I know most people think, oh, well, the church should be respectable. The church should be admired. The church should be honored. They have a very worldly concept of the church, instead of saying, who am I to be treated better than Christ? What is our church that it should be honored and revered better than Christ? Because our Lord says, if you will be my disciple, take up your cross and come and follow me. As I said, you'll hardly ever hear that in any of the churches today, big churches or little churches, revered churches, or disreputable churches. you will hardly hear this. Because the difference is that Christians are known for the love that they have for one another, whereas the world is known for its hatred. Look at the world today. Look at the world today. Wars and rumors of wars all over the planet. Dangers of a third world war. In various places, in the Middle East, in Korea, and here and there and everywhere, China, the confrontation with China, and with Russia. We are living in very dangerous times. When I compare the world situation to what it was like when I was young, almost a century ago, compared to what it is today, the world has changed so much. It was already corrupt. It was already full of hate, but nothing like what we see today. Today, it's as if the devil is no longer bothering to hide his game. It's just way out in the open now. Look at what you see on TV, what you see in the movies, what you see in the press, everywhere. What is being taught in the schools? Thank goodness there are some homeschooling. There is some homeschooling that's being done. This is a salvation against the corruption. I know a doctor. He's evangelical and Baptist. Very strict, very, very strict. Has two daughters and he raised them up very well, very strictly. And then one day he came in and his 13-year-old daughter was watching pornography on her internet. And he said, what are you doing? She said, well, the kids all do it in school and they showed me how to do it. It was then that he said, I wish we had done homeschooling. You can't stop it. You can't protect them. I still remember this kid, 8-year-old kid in Paterson, New Jersey. I said, you're lucky to go to a school. There's a big sign in front of the school saying, drug-free zone. He said, no, no, it's a mistake. It should be free drug zone. I can, he's 8 years old, huh? He said, I can get anything in the classroom that I want. I said, well, you shouldn't want it. But he said, anything in the school, drug-free zone. He said, no, 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 free drug zone. We live in a world of such corruption. How many marriages are lasting today? How many people even bother getting married? And on, the litany is long, and you know it as well as I do. It's because the world has set up its own moral standards, and they change with the generations. Whereas God's standards are eternal. They never change because they are based on truth, because they are based on God who is the truth. But the world's things that would never have been tolerated when I was younger, today it's the law of the land. You can do them. You can do them. Jesus said that his Father will send the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. The Spirit proceeds from the Father, and he will testify about me. So when the Father sends the Holy Spirit, it's so that testimony can be given of Christ. When we are chrismated, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the reason we receive the Holy Spirit is so we can testify about Christ. How often do we take the occasion to speak to people around us? And I don't mean badgering them, and I don't mean being impolite and judgmental, but to at least give some notion to people of the teachings of Christ and the presence of Christ and eternal life. Some people go through their entire life and never think once of their eternity. I was amazed. A 90-year-old man was dying one time. His family called me in. And I asked him, I said, would you like to take advantage of my presence? I'm going to anoint you. Would you like to confess your sins? He said, what sins? I never committed any sins. 90 years old. I said, well, you could at least confess lying. He says, lying? I said, yeah, you just told a lie. You said you never committed a sin in 90 years of your life. At least confess the lie. Some people have no notion, no notion at all of truth and eternal life and what is awaiting them. It's just astonishing. It's just astonishing. The world doesn't want to hear about sin and repentance and forgiveness. They don't like these topics. And I like to talk about nicer topics too, other than persecution. But we are being persecuted whether we realize it or not. Not like in Egypt, maybe. Not like in Iraq. Not like in Afghanistan. India. Now even the Hindu extremists are starting to kill Christians. And here and there and everywhere. The persecution is overt in many countries. In our country, it's still a little different, but they're passing laws, little by little. They're passing laws that are leading up to that. There's a Solzhenitsyn, a famous Russian writer. He said, when I look at the United States, I see the preparation for what happened to us in Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution. Your country is going to be enslaved because you have abandoned God. You have abandoned Christ. We are no longer a Christian country. And so, what happened in Russia? 75 years of frightful persecution. I don't think since Nero there's ever been a more vicious persecution of Christians as what we saw in the Soviet Union. So, and Solzhenitsyn, who's not the latest comer, he says, that's why he wasn't popular here in the United States. He says, you're preparing the same thing. You're going to have the same consequences. You're going to have the same consequences. So anyway, my brothers and sisters, we mustn't be afraid of being persecuted for God's sake. God will give us the strength. You have saints like St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom, the golden mouth, one of the most beautiful preachers that ever existed. His sermons are read to this day, his homilies. They're so profound and beautifully said. But he went to Constantinople, who was the patriarch, and he started telling the people there of their sins, and the government, and the king, and the emperor, and the empress, and so forth. And they had him exiled, and he was so mistreated that he finally died after terrible, terrible treatment, and because he told the truth, because he said, "You're sinners, you are disobeying God." He wasn't afraid to speak the truth. Speak the truth to power, as they say today. You have Saint Stephen. There are consolations even in persecution. Saint Stephen is the first martyr of the church. I think it was in the year 34, right after Christ died. Saint Stephen, he was stoned to death. Not stoned in the way some people get stoned today. Stoned with rocks. And the Blessed Mother appeared to him. He saw the Mother of God appear, and he saw also Saint John the Evangelist. So that's a nice way to die. I'm not even sure he felt the stones. And you have Saint, what's his name? Not Saint Athanasius. Saint Ignatius of Antioch. He was accused of being an atheist because the Roman pagans were accusing him of being an atheist because he wouldn't worship the idols. He wouldn't adore the idols of the Roman Empire. So they captured him and they brought him to Rome. Now the Christian community in Rome wanted to negotiate to have him liberated. He said, no, don't do that. He says, I want to follow in the footsteps of my Christ, of my Savior. He says, don't go and try and get me off. He pleaded with them, please let them martyr me. He yearned to be able to imitate Christ to that extent. And he, during his captivity, he wrote a number of beautiful letters like that. So, my brothers and sisters, do not be surprised at what the future is going to bring. Sometimes the persecution comes from within the churches. Sometimes it's from within, because they already have a worldly spirit. Sometimes it comes from outside the churches. But we can, if we are true disciples of Christ, expect to some extent persecution. Maybe not necessarily put to death. It may be social ostracism. You're not welcome in certain circles or whatever. So, my brothers and sisters, let us not forget, dear brothers and sisters, that the sufferings of this world, as St. Paul says, are nothing in comparison to the unspeakable beatitude of the world to come. We all suffer here on earth. Some people get toothache, some people get cancer, some people lose their jobs. We all have to suffer something. On this earth is a valley of tears, as we say in the prayer. It's a valley of tears. So if we're going to suffer anyway, why not suffer for God? Let it make it worthwhile. If you have a toothache, offer it up to God. Don't just complain about it and say, where I can get a dentist who's not too expensive. Thank God we suffer. We offer everything to God. And then when we are specifically persecuted in the name of Christ, that is a great, great blessing. Because persecution becomes a source of unimaginable joy. Imagine for a short time on this earth we're persecuted, but eternal bliss awaits us if we remain faithful to the end. The little that we sow here on earth will let us reap a harvest for all eternity. We don't have all that much to suffer. We think we have a lot to suffer. I've known people who've lost arms and legs and were smiling all the time. One of them, the nurses put him in a kind of a basket so they could deal with him more easily because he had no arms or legs left. And he said, I'm a basket case. He even laughed about his own sufferings. He was a basket case. People used to come to him to be consoled in their sufferings. Can you imagine? He was one with Christ. He offered all that up to Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. I know you're going to save me. You're preparing me. You're taking me with you. Thank you, dear Lord. there any other parts of me you want to, that I can spare, you let me know. I'm a basket case, he said. So this is the, we should be thankful, huh? Thankful that nothing can separate us from Christ, says St. Paul, nothing. Whether it's tribulations, or whether they're persecutions, or hunger, nakedness, not even death can separate us from Christ. As St. Tugdual says, he says, God is the absolute, yes or no? He meant yes. God is the absolute. And he says, how could the absolute ever be defeated? God can't be defeated. You can't defeat God. That's why if we suffer with him, for him, he's going to triumph in the end. We can be assured of that because he is the absolute. Dear Lord, let us never stop rejoicing from your magnificent promise. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What an exchange. We exchange the world for the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.